Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, or as I like to say, Friday Eve. That's right, it's April 8th, 2021, and folks, it's a tradition unlike any other. That's right, today, out in Augusta, Georgia, it's like the Super Bowl for us golf fans out there, because the most coveted golf major on the sports calendar, it has begun. It's underway. And there's just nothing like the Masters, man. You know, you think of the piano riff and the smooth, silky voice of Jim Nance taking you through the ups and downs of the Masters competition. Oh, boy. Great stuff, man. Just great stuff. And you know what? Right now, again, I'm recording this in the morning like I usually do now during the pandemic era of Current Sports. And again, this will change by the time you're hearing this at 1. But right now, as I record this around like 11 a.m., the leaderboard reads, let's see, we got two brothers at 2 under right now. Siwoo Kim is at 2. Well, now it just changed, actually. It just changed. Danny Willett is leading the pack through 8 at 3 under. Then you have Christian Biesenhout at 2 under. And I was going to say Siwoo Kim is also at 2 under, but I guess he just had some bogeys and he is no longer near the top of the leaderboard anymore. That changed very, very quickly. Then you got two Americans. Well, actually, let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got about 5 Americans who are, tied for third. Patrick Reed, Xander Schauffele, Kevin Kisner, Michael Thompson as well. So four Americans there. Well, no, 5. I'm sorry. Reed, Schauffele, Webb Simpson, Michael Thompson, Kevin Kisner. So, you know, the Masters, man, it's always awesome to watch. I know that there has been a lot of controversy down in Georgia due to, you know, the new voting bills that have passed that are voter suppression. I'm just going to call it like it is. Making it tough for minorities to vote. And that's why Major League Baseball decided to pull out and not hold the MLB All-Star game there. But you know, it's interesting because I was watching a report earlier this week that talked about this move of Major League Baseball's All-Star game from Georgia, from Atlanta. And, you know, Atlanta has a high population of African Americans there. And there are many black businesses that are now going to miss out on a lot of money. A lot of money that they were expecting, these businesses were expecting due to the influx of people that they were banking on by having the All-Star game there. And this report profiled a chicken shack and a soul food restaurant, black-owned, that is now, like, pulling out a tear, trying to figure out what it's going to do. And that's the thing, man. When you make a certain stand for change, there is going to be always unintended consequences, sometimes even for your own people that you're standing up for. So, yeah, that's really interesting stuff. But the Masters is still going on. And my boy Tiger Woods, he will not be playing, of course, this week. He is still recovering from that single car crash that could have taken his life. It really could have. And there was an investigation done, and we now know that the primary cause of that accident was because Tiger Woods was going about 80 miles per hour in a 40 mile per hour zone. That's 40 miles over, man. And he hit the tree at like 75 miles per hour. I mean, that is incredible, man. I mean, it's a miracle that thank goodness he is still alive. So we got the details of that. I saw the report, and you know, they got a lot of information from the black box. We still don't know whether or not he was like distracted, you know, maybe on the phone or texting during that time. Detectives didn't release that, but we do know that speed was the primary factor in what happened to Tiger. So, but you know, Rory McIlroy during his Masters media availability this week, leading up to today's round one, he talked about how he actually has gone and visited Tiger. And, you know, it's funny, you know, he sees Tiger and Tiger, I guess at home, he has on display all of his 15 major trophies. And Rory asked Tiger, just thought, you know, just this gives you a peek into the mindset of greatness, right? He asked Tiger, okay, this is cool, man. You got all your major trophies. Where are your other trophies at? And he just looks at Tiger and says, I mean, looks at Rory, excuse me, and says, I don't know. Because you know what? The other ones don't matter. The only thing that matters to Tiger really is winning majors, man. That's what's important. But that's amazing. You know, Rory just, hey, Tiger, where are your other championship trophies? You've won so many throughout your lifetime. I don't know. Only thing that matters is the majors, man. So, yeah, I chuckled at that story. But, hey, Rory said that, you know, we would all be surprised at how well he's doing in the midst of this recovery. So, yeah, man, Tiger Woods. So, you know, with that, there was a chance that he would have played if he did not have that car accident. You know, I remember he was on the airwaves with Jim Nantz that week of the Genesis Invitational. And, you know, he hosts that tournament. And he got on the airwaves with Jim and said, you know, look, I'm hoping that I'm playing in the Masters. You know, I'm just trying to get better and better. He couldn't guarantee anything. But, you know, knowing Tiger and the competitor that he is, and the fact that, you know, we're just like, what, now 2 years removed from when he won the green jacket for another time, you know, I think the greatest comeback in sports history. So I think those competitive juices would have kicked in and we would have seen him out there this week. But right now we're just grateful that he is alive and we're wishing him a speedy, speedy recovery. And as I'm talking here, just to show you, I mean, this is how crazy round one gets. You just never know. But Siwoo Kim actually, he is amongst the leaders now. He's tied with Corey Connors and Christian Bezenhout for the top spot now. So I guess Siwoo Kim did keep it steady. So yeah, we'll see what happens, folks. But the Masters, you know, if I had to give a pick, you know, I really am encouraged. It's two guys for me. I'm really encouraged by the way Jordan Spieth has been playing lately. I mean, this dude, these past 2 years have been so brutal for him. because he went from a guy who was just, you know, winning majors easy. And this is the game of golf for you, man, because you can start to overthink and, you know, start to change your swing, and you just kind of can lose touch if you start to overthink things. And I think that's what's happened with Jordan. And these past 2 years have been brutal for him. But he's finding a rhythm now. He's had some great finishes. He's coming off a tour win not too long ago. I think it's between Jordan Spieth and, goodness, man, it's between Spieth and I'll go Justin Thomas for me. I love Justin Thomas. His swing is just so smooth. His swing is the swing I try to mimic when I'm out there, you know, getting my Al Woods on any given day, all right? but I love the swing of Justin Thomas. He is a proven winner. He is clutch. I really like Justin Thomas as well. But it's between Spieth and Thomas. I'm going to go Spieth just because I want to see an epic comeback, all right? Okay, with that out the way, the Masters, and I'll have more on the Masters as we of course, will know by tomorrow who's leading after round one and into day two. But I want to give a major shout out. And on today's show, as far as, you know, any interviews or anything like that, we do. Again, we've been covering, you know, and bringing you interviews of Michigan State spring football throughout the spring football practice season. So I'm going to do that again today, as Mel Tucker was made available to the media just a day ago. So he'll give you an update on what's happening with the squad. And I also have a question for Michigan State Spartan fans that I would love for you to call in and weigh in on. And I've also got a voicemail that I'll be rolling in today from one of our longtime listeners. He's a part of our what we call the Current Sports Facebook family, but we haven't been doing Facebook Lives you know, since the pandemic hit. But there are a small group of dedicated Facebook viewers who chime in. He used to chime in every single day, and he is one of those brothers. And I'm going to roll in his voicemail in just a moment. I'm going to give him a shout out in just a moment. But before I do get to the interview, the media availability of Mel Tucker, and bring up who that caller is in that voicemail, I do want to give a major shout out to Drew Valentine, who is now the head men's basketball coach at Loyola Chicago. And he's in his 20s, folks. That's right. He doesn't turn 30 until May. So he's a year younger than me. And at 29, he now becomes the youngest Division I men's basketball coach in the entire nation. And he's from right here in Lansing, Michigan. How crazy is that, man? Porter Moser, he has accepted a head coaching position at Oklahoma. And, you know, when reading into this, Drew Valentine really wasn't surprised that he got the gig. You know, this had been the plan. If Moser had left for another job, Valentine was pretty confident that he would be bumped up to the head coach of the program. So he was very confident that if Moser stepped down, that he would be the guy next in line to lead Loyola Chicago. And you know, I was following this through the lens of his father as well, Carlton Valentine, who, you know, led Lansing Sexton to state championships. I remember I'll never forget, you know, Carlton Valentine and that Lansing Sexton squad who won those state championships. That squad has a dear place in my heart, because that's when I was still in college and I was really just starting to get a groove when it came to internships and getting the experience that I needed to create some kind of competitive advantage of becoming a sports broadcaster after I graduated college. But, you know, one of my first assignments was to head out to Lansing Sexton High School and interview Carlton Valentine and interview Denzel Valentine. You know, Denzel was just a complete star at Lansing Sexton, and, you know, he was in the running for, you know, Mr. Basketball and just doing all these amazing things. And, you know, I still have that story up on YouTube, actually, but I was just a young sophomore in college, you know, getting my feet wet, you know, trying to get this experience. At I did this report for Home TV when I was an intern in Meridian Township's Home TV, at Meridian Township's Home TV. And, you know, that's the first time I met Carlton and first time I met Denzel. And I believe also Bryn Forbes was there. Smelly was there as well. Anthony Clemens. So, yeah, man, you know, that story, that squad and Carlton, they have a dear place in my heart, man. That's when I really started to catch a groove there and get that experience. So anyway, but, you know, Drew was also a fantastic player for Lansing Sexton. And you could just, when you talked about Drew Valentine with coaches and players alike, teammates alike, you would always hear that, okay, yeah, Drew is going to be a coach, a head coach one day. It's going to happen. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And, you know, for Drew, he actually got his start, if you remember, at Michigan State University, working under Tom Izzo. He was a grad manager 2 years at Michigan State. And, you know, Izzo just rained down his praises for Drew. And just talked about how amazing he was in his work ethic. And then, you know, also Greg Campy talked about how amazing of a leader he was. You know, Campy, you know, who's been the head coach of Oakland, who was then D2 back in the 80s. He got the chance to work firsthand with Drew as a player, and Drew had a great career. And Campy talks about how Drew was one of the best leaders that he's ever had the opportunity to coach, without a doubt. And you know, then he goes to Loyola Chicago, you know, working under Porter Moser. And that experience just completely invaluable. And the fact that this program, which, and, you know, if you've been following college basketball in the last, you know, 5 years, you know that Loyola Chicago is becoming a March Madness darling. You know, they're always the low seed, right? But they always make these remarkable, remarkable runs. Reached the Final Four in 2018. Sweet 16 last month. Both with Valentine on the coaching staff. I mean, that's amazing. And their, you know, Loyola's rise began when it moved to the Missouri Valley Conference back in 2013. That was during Moser's third season. And, you know, this is a school that has pumped a lot of resources into that program. Give them a lot of credit, man. Loyola Chicago and, you know, Sister Jean has become like a regular figure at the tournament now. This school is turning a lot of heads when it comes to college basketball, and Drew has the opportunity to continue to build upon what Moser built. And now the grind goes up a notch, right? But the fact that this program trusted a 29-year-old, is trusting a 29-year-old to lead this program, to continue to lead this program on the uptick, it says a ton about how Drew Valentine is viewed, about his work ethic, about his leadership and character, to be trusted with this kind of responsibility at this young of an age. Wow. So I had to give a lot of credit, man, and give him a shout out on today's Current Sports. I wanted to dedicate some time to doing that because this is an accomplishment that not too many human beings get to experience at this young of an age. You know, he's mature beyond his years. He's also married. You know, his wife actually is a Spartan. Taylor Galloway played volleyball for Michigan State. So, Yeah, man. And you know, it's amazing. You know, parents out there who are listening to the show, in talking with many parents, including my own, they don't realize how their respective professions have this profound impact on where their children decide to go in life. You know, with my ex-girlfriend, you know, she would constantly talk about how, you know, she, you know, her parents actually discouraged her from going into education. They discouraged her from being a teacher. And she debated other routes. But somehow, some way, she ends up becoming a teacher just like her mom and dad. You know, that happens, you know, because they're so ingrained into their profession. Sometimes it can't help but rub off on you as a kid, you know, who is trying to figure out life. And for Carlton being the amazing, amazing high school basketball coach that he was, he molded Drew at a young age to be in the position that he's in now. And taking the Valentine coaching tree now with two branches to that next level. And who knows? Denzel is still balling out for the Chicago Bulls. But when his career is said and done, I'm curious as to whether or not he then goes into coaching as well. But, you know, Carlton molded Drew into what he is now, man. And that's pretty awesome to see. And Carlton is so proud of Drew, as you can imagine. I've been following Carlton on Facebook, and, you know, he's had multiple posts about Drew, and, you know, he's got a Facebook Live of him sitting front row at the press conference when they announced Drew Valentine as the head coach at Loyola. And it's just an awesome moment, man. So congratulations to Drew and the entire Valentine family. It's just awesome to see, man. It really, really is awesome to see. Okay. All right. Now, before I hit this first break, and we have the latest spring football media availability of Michigan State football head coach Mel Tucker, we've got a voicemail. You know, as I mentioned, you know, when we were doing our show, you know, pre-pandemic life, right, at the studio, at Studio West, when things were normal, you know, we would always stream the show on Facebook for you all to tune in live and to weigh in live in the chat. And we had a group of, and not have, because they still listen. I know they're still out there listening. But we have a group of dedicated current sports listeners who would chime in just about every single day. I would say, like 90% of the time Current Sports was on Facebook Live, these individuals will tune in. The Grimes family of Ben and Stephanie, regulars. Could also bring up my guy Chris, Steven, Austin, just regulars, man, that would always lock in. You know, Justin, Kevin, you know, all of these amazing, amazing listeners. And also Alex, my guy Alex, you know, and it was always a joy for me. You know, during our two breaks, I would just take a peek, or even sometimes while talking, I would take a peek at our Facebook live stream. And depending on the topic, you know, sometimes we'll be getting into these heated debates and they're just going at it, just typing away. I love that and I miss that. So it's always a joy for me during this pandemic era of the show when I get the opportunity to hear from those individuals. You know, I miss them, and they are certainly a part of the Current Sports family. So Alex actually decided to weigh in, and he wanted to talk about some picks that he had. You know, sports gambling is a major, major thing now, you know, especially here in Michigan. You know, since online sports betting has gone live here in Michigan, you know, you don't even know how many people I have talked to. You know, friends, family, you know, at my barbershop, you know, everybody is in on sports gambling now online. It's so easy to do. You can just download the app and just place a bet on a game It makes the game more intriguing. Again, do it responsibly, right? But it's become so, so major. So Alex, he actually called in during yesterday's show, and he had some picks, and I want to evaluate how he did. But here's my guy, Alex.
Hey, one time for the Facebook family. It's Alex from East Lansing. Coming to you with games. I got games for tonight. I'm going to watch the ESPN NBA games tonight. I got New Orleans plus 10.5 over Brooklyn because, I mean, Zion. I mean, Zion and the homie Ball, they I don't know if they're going to lose by 10, by more than 10.5. In the second game, ESPN, taking the under on 225. And that's Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns. Every time I bet on Utah or Phoenix, you know, they just lose. So I just either do the over or the under. So the under is 225. If you need another game, I am doing the over 8.5 Dodgers and Athletics because both those pitchers combined have an ERA of plus 14. So, yeah, I'm going to take those. Once again, this is Alex from East Lansing. Now, I'm going to leave because I am watching the Hemingway documentary by Ken Burns on WKR right now. And if you haven't already watched the Hemingway documentary, even though it's only two parts through, you need to do it. And then after that, give WKR $5 a month because it's just the right thing to do.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we appreciate that, brother. Again, one of our longtime listeners, as you heard him say, he's a part of the Facebook fam who would always just watch on Facebook Live and tune in during the day that way. And Alex had some interesting picks. He went with the under 225 on last night's NBA game between the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns. He nailed that. He got that one right. But he came up just short in the other two games. He had the Nets in the Pelicans game. And he went with the Pels to cover, I think it was, plus 8, something like that, because of Zion. But no, as we know, man, last night, whew, the return of Kevin Durant off that injury, and he came off the bench. It was like perfect from the field. I mean, the dude was amazing, and the Nets just made it look easy peasy, lemon squeezy against Zion Williamson and the Pelicans. So, came up short in that game, Alex, all good, and came up just short during the Dodgers and Athletics game as well. He went with the over there, and it was set at like at 8, and he did that because both starting pitchers had a crazy, crazy ERA. He was close, though, because the final was 4-3 Oakland, so he was just short of accomplishing that bet there. A total of 7 points scored in that game. So, but that's sports betting for you, man. You know, it's so unpredictable. You know, don't bet your house, please. Do it responsibly and have fun, all right? But thank you, Alex. And again, like as he said, man, if you want to contribute, we actually have our spring campaign coming up. I'll be on the air next week. During All Things Considered, I'll be on the air for 2 days alongside All Things Considered WKAR host Sophia Salaby. I'll be rocking the mic with her next week, Tuesday and Friday. All right. So next week, Tuesday and Friday, you can catch me on the air with Sophia as we'll be, you know, taking your donations to WKAR. If you love what we do here and you have made WKAR a part of your daily and, you know, have made us family, make it official and donate. Just like my man Alex said, just hit up our website at WKAR.org. And there are, you know, you just look at the website and there's places there you'll see, to give on our website. But again, next week, though, we're really going to be wrapping it up because of our spring campaign, which I'm really, really looking forward to it. I won't only just be on the radio, though, because we also have our spring TV campaign coming up as well. And I've actually got a meeting Friday on that. I'll be rocking the airwaves on television, also taking your donations. All right. But again, if you want to donate, just go to WKAR.org and click the Give Now button. It's in red, top right of the website. You can't miss it. We really appreciate all that you guys do for us. And again, I always say that I can't do what I do without you. All right. Current sports wouldn't exist if it wasn't for you all. So I really, really, really appreciate that, guys. And hey, Alex, I got to check out that Hemingway doc. I'm adding that to my list of TV viewing pleasure for this weekend, right alongside Godzilla versus Kong, because I still haven't seen that yet. It's been a busy week. All right, folks, let's hit our first break. When we come back, as promised, you'll hear from the head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mel Tucker, as he gives us the latest happenings on spring practice for the Spartans. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And right now, I want you to hear from Mel Tucker, the head coach of the Michigan State football program, as he gives us an update on what's going around when it comes to this Michigan State football program as we inch closer and closer to the spring game, which will be, again, if you don't have it marked on your calendar, it will be April 24th. And look, with the way this pandemic is going right now, and if you didn't know, this state, yes, the state of Michigan, has become the new epicenter of the pandemic. We have the most growing cases in comparison to any other state here in these United States of America. So I don't know, man, with the way things are going, who knows if we are going to have spectators attending the spring game on April 24th, but at least mark it on your calendar, that game will still be played regardless. All right. But anyway, here's Mel Tucker on the latest happenings in spring practice.
I thought the scrimmage was very competitive. It was a physical scrimmage. I really liked the way our guys competed. It was a cleaner brand of football than what we have been playing previously. I really like, we put an emphasis on technique and fundamentals up until this point, doing simple better. And there was a conscious effort from our players to do that and to play with discipline. Play with good parallel, with great hand placement, footwork, being physical, just playing clean, fundamental football, and playing fast. You need to know what to do, how to do it, and why it's important to do it that way. And I saw our guys really consciously trying to strain and do what we ask them to do, which is critically important. We ran the ball quite a bit in the scrimmage. We really need that, the run game work on offense and defense. I really like the way our offensive line was coming off the ball. The tight ends need to be able to do it all. They need to be able to block in the run game and then be able to win one-on-one in the pass game. And so we got a lot of work done there. Receivers did a really good job blocking. We need to improve. And then we put pressure on our defense to stop the run. We were more stout. I said our technique is getting better inside, setting the edges in the run game. We want to set the edge and build a wall and then let our linebackers, feel and, see the ball and go get the ball. Actually, the secondary run support was it got better as the scrimmage went, and guys really started to show up and hit. We had a pretty good net on the ball. We did give up some explosives, but that's all leverage and tackling. You know, I thought our quarterbacks, they seemed to be efficient, you know, throw the ball to the open man or take what the defense gives you, not trying to force it. I thought we took care of the football. The communication is getting better, and when you hear guys communicating with authority, that means that there's more confidence, there's more understanding of what's expected. And so on both sides of the ball, the communication was much improved. And that's just part of the process. And then we were able to get our situational work in, you know, first and second down, third down, we're down in the red zone, got 2 minutes. So it was a comprehensive scrimmage. It was our first time being able to go live to the ground. And I thought it was just a clean scrimmage. I felt like our team was improved. We have a long way to go. We're still building. And our newcomers have really helped to elevate the intensity of our practices, because you know, we have competition at every position, and guys are really fighting for jobs and working to do what we want them to do. And we carried that over into today's practice, this morning. But again, we still have quite a ways to go. It's a process, you know, culturally, you know, how we go about our business. It's still not where we want to be, because I want these guys to play football the way I want them to play. I believe the game of football should be played a certain way, with great technique and fundamentals, and not a lot of the extra that doesn't really matter, does not contribute to winning. You know, we don't talk to the opponent. You know, we don't need to spend a lot of time, you know, getting into shoving matches and things like that. It's just a waste of time. We need more attention to detail, more urgency, you know, in between players, hustling to get lined up. I want guys to strain to finish. I want guys to better play harder for longer. So this was practice number 7. And giving all these guys an opportunity to show what they can do, show that they can be coachable and play up to the standard that we laid out for them. And, you know, after practice 15, we'll see where we are. But I talked to him about the aggregation of marginal gains. You know, everyone get 2% better, 1 or 2% better every day, and it adds up. And then we can just keep moving forward and improving our football team. And after practice 15, we'll see where we are. But I'm not interested in going into the summer with anyone who's not willing to play or not able to play the type of football that we need to play here. So you know, every opportunity is opportunity. Every day is an opportunity to show you know, what you're all about and how much you've learned, and can you improve? Can you take it from the classroom and to walk through and to the individual work, to group work and scrimmage, and eventually to a game. So, you know, it's a process. We've been getting good work in, but we're still a work in progress. We are making strides. So, you know, we just keep moving until we'll watch the film of today, and then we'll keep going, and we'll meet with them tomorrow and get ready to go again on Thursday. I like the way we're working, but we do need to keep raising the bar and get as much out of these guys as we can. And putting pressure on the coaches to make sure that we're getting it done the way we need to get it done. And because the lowest level of performance that you accept as a coach, that will become your culture. And so, you know, we're not letting anything slide and giving guys an opportunity to show that they can perform at the level that we need and do it exactly the way we want it. And then we'll find out as we go who can do that and then things are starting to shake out a little bit, you know, as the intensity of the practices elevates. You really find out, you know, what the, you know, who can do what we need them to do. Pain and pressure is really what moves the needle with guys. And so we're making our practices as difficult as they can be, putting pressure on guys to compete in situations and see what they can do. So we're getting a lot of work done in a short period of time. We don't have a day to waste. So we're just gonna keep the train on the tracks and keep it going. But with that, I'll do my best to answer any of the questions that you have.
Thanks, Coach. We'll start with Chris Solari from the Detroit Free Press.
Hey, Mel, good to see you. I guess kind of getting into maybe a little bit of what a Mel Tucker scrimmage is, how much, I mean, do you devote to that situational stuff like you mentioned? I mean, do you try and make it game-like? I mean, I know Mark had done altered scoring. Do you keep score or do you focus on the individual elements of what guys need to do? And do you stop and start and move the ball around and things like that?
Yeah, we don't keep score per se. You know, we'll go like ones versus twos, twos versus ones. Then we'll go ones versus one for the rest of the scrimmage. Everything we do is situational. So it's going to be first and second down. We had a rack of third down plays that were scripted. We also had move the field where we were just really playing the game and guys were being extended, having to play more than three or four plays in a row like they would do in a normal scripted practice. We were able to go down in the red zone and get some work in and end with 2 minutes. But everything is situational. We're not just out there just running plays. We did on each side of the ball, we do keep stats, you know, with the first group and then with the second group and then the group overall on each side of the ball. Because we have goals like first and second down goals, third down goals, red zone goals, ball security, turnovers, things like that, 2 minute goals. After the scrimmage, you know, we'll post it, you know, we'll go over the goals and see how many goals we hit. And then we'll kind of just do it like that. So we got a lot of work done. We're able to quantify it and evaluate it and then show it to our players and then get better.
That was going to be my follow-up on that, is the quantifying factor. I mean, how much, especially at the quarterback position, how much of it is what they do on the field, and also how much of it comes back to rewatching it the second time to kind of learn and fix those mistakes at this point in the season?
Yeah, that's part of the process. You play, you practice, and then you watch the film. We grade the film. The players watch the film on their own. When they come back in on Monday after a scrimmage, they have all already watched it on their own. We tell them to have questions ready. We have players texting us over the weekend, the questions they have. So when they come in on Monday, you know, we can hit the ground running. They're not seeing the scrimmage, you know, really for the first time on Monday. They've already seen it over the weekend. And then we go to onto our corrections. You know, we use film. We show them what they did right. They did it wrong. We show them that and tell them how to correct it and expect them to get it right the next time we put them in that situation on the field. And so that's part of our process, you know, to evaluate it, to grade it, to make our corrections, learn, and then move forward. I mean, a coach's job is to teach, motivate, and develop. And so we put them in situations to be able to do that. And the players need to improve, because there's no reason not to. If you're not improving, you know, then you're basically, you know, you're wasting time. And if you can teach, a player can learn. And we have excellent teachers on this staff, so I expect guys to be able to learn and get better.
Our next question is from Matt Wenzel with M Live.
And Mel, obviously a unique spring, given you didn't have one last year, but, you know, for all the years you've been doing this, have you ever noticed when you get to like that midpoint of spring practice that maybe some fatigue sets in with guys? I don't know, like the dog days or anything like that, where you kind of refocus guys for the second half, you know, pushing towards the spring game?
We shouldn't really have that in the spring, because we're practicing pretty much every other day. We're going Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. guys have a day in between the practice. So there's plenty of time to rest and recover. If there's any type of lull in there, any type of fatigue, it's usually, you give in mentally before your body gives in physically. And we do have some guys banged up. You know, football is a collision sport and injuries are part of the game. But for the most part, guys should be fresh and ready on every practice.
All right, again, Mel Tucker, head coach of the Michigan State football program. And you know what? I want to hear from you guys. I want you guys to call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And I want to know what you think about this quarterback battle. Who will be the starting quarterback of the Michigan State football program this upcoming season? You know, Peyton Thorne, Anthony Russo, some other Michigan State quarterback. I mean, what do you think? What do you think? Because, you know, that's the big question. We just don't know. It's up in the air, but it starts there, right? You have to have a solid quarterback if you're going to get the job done. And, you know, Mel Tucker and his staff is trying desperately to really figure this thing out. I mean, if Michigan State doesn't have adequate quarterback play, everything else just kind of goes down the drain. But it's an interesting battle. It really is. And you heard Mel Tucker talk about that, and he always says that, you know, hey, we're going to play the best guy. And he's not, I don't think he's going to give you too much insight. You know, the biggest telling thing will be, you know, who is going to be that starting quarterback, or these starting quarterbacks with the first unit for, you know, the spring game. But, you know, you also got, you know, Theo Days in the mix, Noah Kim, Andrew Shofar, Zach Gillespie, you know, alongside, you know, Anthony Russo and Peyton Thorne. So we'll see, man. You know, Theo Day, Hamp Fay, all of these guys are competing for this job. And may the best man win. But who do you think is going to be that guy? I'm curious. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a bow on this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and we have to bid you all adieu. And before I do, and I'm curious, you know, how this is going to look by the time you listen to the show today, but Hideki Matsuyama has now taken the lead at the Masters in round one. He is at 3-under through 8, but Siwoo Kim is right behind him. And that rhymed. At 2-under, and he's tied with Corey Connors and Christian Bazenhout, all at 2-under. We'll see what happens, man. I'm going to be parked on my couch, though, at 3 p.m. Wednesday begin, you know, live coverage of the Masters on ESPN. But awesome stuff, man. Nothing like round one of the Masters. We'll have a recap of how round one turned out on the Friday edition of the show. And there are a few other things I want to comment on, man. You know, I want to give you guys the latest, and I'll give you my reaction on the latest concerning Deshaun Watson as, man, you know, what he's going through right now. Sponsorships are just dropping like flies. You know, Nike dropped him. Beats by Dre also dropped him this week. Other companies are distancing themselves away from him. So it's wild, man. It really is. So I'll give you the latest on Deshaun Watson. We may also have a special guest on tomorrow's show as well. All right. You don't want to miss the Friday edition. You don't want to miss any Friday edition. Friday is like my favorite current sports show to do. No, it's not because it's the last show of the week, okay? But because it's just so fun, man. You know, we have a lot of fun on Fridays. You know, previewing what's to come for the weekend. And it's, I don't know, I feel like it's a more loose show. I don't know, even though every show is kind of loose here on Current Sports. But anyway, folks, I want you all to be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.